In the years following his death and resurrection, the followers of Jesus had been waiting with hope and expectation for the arrival of the new realm Jesus had promised. The hope of these Christians told them that Jesus was coming back, and that when he returned, he would have heaven trailing on the hem of his robe. When Jesus came back, there would be an end to pain and an end to doubt. There would be endless peace for the throne of David and its descendants. Jesus loved them and had freed them and would make them a new realm, a peaceable realm under the reign of Christ. This was the substance of their hope. This was what they read in the prophets of the Hebrew Bible, what they were holding on to. But the conditions they were living under, they could not have been much more different than their hopes. Far from living in a peaceable realm, in fact, they were all of them living under an oppressive empire. Every single person who was a believer in Jesus, every single one, was a subject of the Emperor Nero. This empire, which did not admit of any ends to its reach. And although this empire, this one that had executed Jesus, though it had never been particularly kind to Jesus' followers, this emperor, Nero, showed particular joy in making the Christians miserable. He had it out for them, it seemed, took every chance to blame them for any ill the empire suffered, took every opportunity to wield his power to hurt them. The Christians, they had been relying on hope, but it was beginning to fail them. Decades had passed. People who had known Jesus in the flesh, seen him with their own eyes, heard him with their own ears, these people, they were beginning to die. And I don't mean glorious martyrs' deaths, staying faithful to the bitter end, resisting the enemy to the last. Believers were dying just from age, from getting sick, from worlds passing by them. The believers were growing restless, beginning to doubt, some beginning to fall away. Some whose hopes had failed them decided that they were done trusting in Jesus and this return. Instead, they would trust in violence. They would start rebellions. Violence, at least, was something you could touch and feel. Armed rebellions against the Romans rose and were put down, rose again and were put down again. All while the Christians were still hoping for Jesus to return to make them a new realm. Hope. Hope is a good thing. You can live on it if you need to. You can live on hope for a time. But hope without tangible progress, without something you can sink your teeth into, a diet of nothing but hope will set your teeth on edge. A diet of nothing but hope will give you heartache after a while. Things weren't getting better. If anything, they were getting worse. Even the most faithful, they were beginning to tire of just waiting. This was the time when arose the vision of John of Patmos. This vision that is the book of Revelation, it came at a time when the Christians were losing hope that Christ would make them a new realm. We heard the introduction of this vision read for us a few minutes ago. It is a vision of breaking seals and unfurling scrolls, and the sky rolled back like a parchment. A vision of smoking incense bowls and sounding trumpets of beasts and angel armies and devil armies and a wine press full of the wrath of God, a dragon and the Ancient of Days, a clash of right and wrong that envelops the whole world, and at the end of it all, at the end of all things, a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem shining like a seven-sided jewel box descending from the heavens, a new realm of life and peace and delight where God's own hand would wipe away the tears of believers shed over long years of eating nothing but hope. Revelation. The book of Revelation, sometimes called the Apocalypse of St. John. They're synonyms, you know, Revelation and Apocalypse. Revelation meaning a revealing, an unmasking. Apocalypse, a Greek word meaning to uncover for all to see. The Apocalypse of St. John, a revelation of how the new realm would come to be, an uncovering of a clear road from where the believers were to some place that they might hope yet to be. And amidst all of the images and oddities in this book, rabbit trails in which it is very possible to be lost, in the midst of all of this, one thing is overarchingly clear. When this new realm appeared, it would come as a total break with what had come before. It would bear little, if any, resemblance to what had come before, not by some gradual process of change, no, nor by slow enlightenment over generations, but all at once, as if night would give to day, but not through dawn's slow creeping its fingers up the sky, but rather night giving way to day, as if the sun had burst into full blaze in the middle of the sky at midnight. A complete and utter break with what had come before. The coming of the realm of God would come like trumpet blasts, sudden and loud at full volume where before there had been silence. In all the images, in all the oddities of the book that run like rabbit trails that it is easy to become lost within, one thing is overarchingly clear. When the new realm appeared, it would come as a total break with what had come before. Nothing would be the same before the apocalypse and after. Well, almost nothing would be the same. One thing would remain. The community of believers, the way that they lived their lives, how they treated one another, that would remain. The way that they had been caring for one another and sharing what they had and looking after widows and the dispossessed and chasing after humility. Those things that the believers were doing that were in keeping with what Jesus had taught them about life, those things would remain even after the final trumpet blast. In fact, not only would those Christian practices remain, this way of living among the faithful, this would become the way that this whole realm worked. This would become something like the law. Not laws like laws made by people, but laws like the law of gravity, simply how things work. The humility and charity and zeal for justice among the believers would become like the coming and going of the tides. Just how things work. Jesus loved them and freed them from sins and made them to be a new realm, we read. It is not that Jesus was going to be back any day now with a world transformed. Rather, Jesus was making his believers, was making of them, making his believers become the realm of God, that they would not need to wait one day more, but could become the realm of God. The followers of Jesus are to be the very realm of God in the world, not bounded by any borders or limited by any nation, but living out the values of God, even in the midst of a world of troubles, especially in the midst of a world of troubles. They were to be, this community of believers, they were to be the forerunners of the realm of God. Seeing them was how you knew it was coming, like the elite marathoners who crossed the finish line, heralding that in just an hour or two, an uncountable river of humanity would follow in their wake. Forerunners of what was to come. This community of believers, it was to be a foretaste of what was to come, like licking the batter off the egg beaters before the cake goes in. Just a taste of what was to come, so that you know what it would be like. These believers, they were living their lives as Jesus would want them to, as best they could, because that soon was to be how this whole new realm, how it was going to work. Love alone, justice alone, peace alone, humility alone, these things would remain, though the world changed, though the mountains would shake at the heart of the sea. This waiting, then, this living faithfully, this waiting was not any more mere inaction. We learn from the Revelation, we learn that this waiting is not inaction. It is more like a mother hen brooding over her eggs. Requires waiting, true. Patience, true. Not moving from your spot, that's true. But it is patience that can create. It is patience without which the creation of something new is not possible. A faithfulness to remain, without which new life is not possible. If this new realm that was to come, if it was to be filled with love, then love would have to be the law among the believers. If this new realm was to be ruled by peace, then conflicts among the believers would need to be settled peaceably. If this new realm was to be a place where the vulnerable ones would be cared for, then the community would need to sacrifice much, in order that not one of them would be forced to live with nothing. We who would claim the name of Christ and hope for the coming day of the reign of Christ, we who hold that as our hope, we can draw upon a well of hope so deep that 2,000 years have not exhausted its bounty, that after 2,000 years we may still find it filled with hope. The revelation of St. John, the apocalypse of St. John, it is describing our place within history as it is unfolding. Our part in this coming peaceable realm that is already here and which is not yet. This peaceable realm that is already here and which is not yet. Our faith, the Christian faith, it does not promise that Jesus is coming back any day now with a world transformed and that we need not lift a finger to be a part of it. It does not promise this. Our faith, instead, calls us to become the realm of God. With the power of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the blessings and lessons of Jesus, our faith shows us that we need not wait one day more. We need not wait one day more for the realm of God. We can be the very realm of God living in the world today. Not bounded by any borders, not limited by any nation, but living out the values of God, even in the midst of a world of troubles, especially in the midst of a world of troubles, forerunners of what is to come, a foretaste of the sweetness that God has in store, so that we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its mountains roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. That because of these blessings of God, we can have a peaceable realm. We need not wait, not one day more. May it be so.